Session started. For you, the people that do not understand the rules, which some of you have been here repeat, but I'll let Mr. Griffith take over the public hearing at the present time to explain how the council operates our public hearings. Mr. Griffith.
Thank you. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they're considered legislative hearings. Council uses the information that is presented during this hearing to determine whether or not to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. When each application is identified by name or number, we'll begin with Mr. Lank telling us what happened at the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. After that, we will then recognize the respective applicants in the order in which they're listed. And if you're represented, your attorney will pretty much present your case or determine what evidence comes in. If you're representing yourself, when you're recognized, you need to come down to the podium, state your name and your address, so we'll be able to tell who's making the statement. Then tell council the reasons why you would like your application to be approved. After the applicant has presented their case, we will then give an opportunity for anyone who is here also in support to speak, and then followed by anyone who is here in opposition to the application. So all sides will be recognized if there's more than one side. After that has happened, then it will be up to council to determine when a decision is made. And I think all three of these were deferred at the commission level, so council must also defer to wait until we get the commission's recommendation. So no decisions will be made today. Does anyone have a question about the procedure? If you have a cell phone or a paging device, if you don't mind, please turn them off or turn them to silent service.
Thank you.
Mr. Lank.
Yes, thank you. The Planning and Zoning held public hearings on December 13th on the 2007 on the three public hearings we're going to hold today. First application is conditional use 1713. It's the application of Keith Smith. It's an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for commercial storage buildings to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County. Parcel containing 1.2278 acres, more or less, lying north of Route 17, 200 feet west of Route 382, also referred to as Route 20, at Roxanne. During the public hearing process, the commission received an exhibit booklet provided by the applicant. I've passed down five copies of that exhibit booklet. It also includes a copy of the site plan. We heard comments from the Department of Transportation that there was no traffic impact study recommended, and level of service C of Roxanna Road will not change as a result of this application. We heard comments from the county or the Sussex Conservation District in reference to soils. We heard comments from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division in reference to sewer. This site is not in a proposed or current county operated and maintained sanitary sewer district and or water district. The site is not capable of being annexed into the county-operated sanitary sewer district, and if and when the county provides sewer service, a connection to the system will be required. The county does not have any schedule at this time to provide sewer service. We did receive a letter of opposition from Paul A. Tronfo referencing the change from ag residential to commercial, questioning if the applicant had been paying taxes on the existing buildings, that the buildings are being rented, that the property had been posted for sale, that approval of this application would open the property up to any amount of night and day activities, noise, and traffic. The applicant was present with Shannon Carmine, attorney, gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. And the commission, at the conclusion of the public hearing, did defer action and has not yet met again to be able to take action. I received no additional comments or letters in correspondence from any residents or agencies to date since. And that's all I have unless you have questions.
Questions, Mr. Lank, gentlemen? Mr. Griffin.
Ms. Carmine.
Good afternoon. My name is Shannon Carmine of the law firm of Sergovic and Carmine. I represent the applicant, Mr. Keith Smith, who is seated to my left, who's applied for a conditional use of land to convert four existing storage buildings for commercial storage buildings. The property is located in the AR1 zoning district and contains approximately 1.2278 acres of land and lies north of Route 17 and 200 feet west of Route 20 at Roxana. The property is currently improved by a building which has historically been used for retail or commercial purposes, a detached shed and garage, and the four existing storage buildings that are the subject of this application. The prior use of the building on the property that's been used for retail purposes included a plumbing office for the applicant, an antique store, which it currently is operating as an antique store right now, and provides upholstery services, which it has been providing for the past 6 years, a convenience store, and even a gas station. Behind this building, there is a detached building, which currently houses a blacksmith. Mr. Smith is unaware of any complaints regarding the historical use of this part of the property. Again, there are four existing storage buildings on the property that were approved for personal use in both 2001 and 2005 to store plumbing equipment for Mr. Smith. During the time of the applications, Mr. Smith had a quite large plumbing outfit, which employed approximately 10 employees. He had about six trucks, which parked in the existing storage units. He had trenchers, backhoes, and trailers, rendering the amount of space necessary for his business. However, since that date, he has downsized, and he no longer needs this amount of space for his personal use, and therefore seeks to make use of the space by converting it to commercial storage buildings, as opposed to rendering it unusable. Mr. Smith currently occupies one of the storage buildings for his plumbing business. The purpose of the AR1 district is to provide for low-density, single-family residential development with churches, recreational facilities, and accessory uses as may be necessary or compatible with residential surroundings. The conditional uses permitted in this district include residential, business, commercial, or industrial uses when the purposes of the chapter are more fully met by issuing the conditional use permit. The proposed conditional use is compatible with the neighboring uses. As already noted, there is currently an antique store located on the property. It's called Back in Time. Across the street from the property is Topper's Custom Built Countertops and Klein Enterprises. On the corner, diagonally from the property, we have Seaside Gifts, and that's right on the corner of Route 17 and Route 20. And then down the street we have a church and a cemetery and some chicken houses. So therefore, the proposed conditional use is keeping in character with the already existing uses in that area. In accordance with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan Update 2002, this property appears to lie in a low-density district. The purpose of that district, at page 14 of the plan, is to provide for a full range of agricultural activities and to protect agricultural lands from objectionable, hazardous, and unsightly uses. This property will not affect any agricultural activities or any agricultural lands, as it has not been used for those purposes. It will also not cause any unsightly or objectionable or hazardous uses. These storage buildings have been on the property since as early as 2001. And the district permits limited industrial uses and retail businesses, as well as district-related services. And therefore, the proposed use, again, is in character with the surrounding uses, and it will enable Mr. Smith to make viable use of the property. The proposed use will not have any detrimental or adverse impact on the neighboring uses, will have no impact or on traffic due to the limited number of storage buildings that are proposed. And again, the traffic impact study was not recommended by DLDOT. During the planning and zoning hearing, there were several possible conditions that were suggested by the commission, including possibly designating certain hours of operations, maybe maintaining a possible fence buffer to provide some type of shield from the neighboring residential use. And Mr. Smith is willing to comply with those or similar types of conditions. In conclusion, it's our opinion that the proposed conditional use is compatible with neighboring uses and would enhance the property by making use of these existing structures rather than adversely impacting the community. And therefore, we request that you approve the application as presented, and we thank you for your consideration of the application. And I, as well as Mr. Smith, are available for any questions that you may have. Thank
you. Questions, gentlemen?
Where I read that it was proposed that you could do 4 to 12 units, that you're not adding any more to it. You're just
That's
within
correct.
Within the building that there, you may just put in other divisions.
There are four independent structures. Mm-hmm. And each structure has four inside of it. Is that correct?
Three doors.
I apologize. Three doors. So there's a maximum capacity of 12.
Right. Okay.
Are they individually quartered off in the middle? I mean, are each door or?
Yeah. My name's Keith. I'm from Bishop.
Name and address.
It's 13105 Bank Street, Bishopville, Maryland, 21813. And. Basically, what they are, they're 1,200 square foot buildings divided into one section now, but they have three doors, so they could be
subdivided.
Yeah, they could possibly be subdivided into smaller units.
Right. Just depends on. That's why you said 4 or 12.
Right. Yeah,
that's correct.
The hours you had down to 7 to 7.
That's what the Planning Commission had suggested, and Mr. Smith is willing to comply with that.
You also stated that there was no outside storage proposed and no manufacturing and no retail sales, so you still have no problem that it's just strictly going to be storage, inside storage.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. And the dumpster, where's the dumpster located on this?
It's centrally located on the property.
What's that mean?
Can you see it on the photo?
Oh, right there in the middle?
Yep.
Not okay.
Right.
Yeah, we try to keep them, you know, from neighboring property lines, so you don't
annoy
the neighbors with them. But.
It's a deck directly across from, like, the second building in from the road.
Not quite behind the garage.
Right,
back corner of that.
Now, the building, I guess, up front, you're not restricting it to storage, obviously. Why don't you be able to do retail out of that? So that would be the only retail permitted on the site.
That's correct.
So it may not be an antique shop someday. It could be a gift shop or
Yes, Mr.
Or
Smith would like to continue the use, the retail use of that building.
Okay, so we're not really designating it has to be an antique shop.
That's correct.
We're just saying retail is permitted there. Okay. Which is, like you say, it's always
because they're doing the upholstery still, right?
Yes.
It looked like they were. Yes.
That's retail and upholstery services.
But when you say no retail, you're referring to
the storage building.
Uses to be added for storage purposes.
That's correct.
Are you talking about the back garage also to be included in those in that where the retail would be? Because I know you said I didn't go around and look, but you said
it has been used for several different businesses. So I'm only to assume that the two front buildings
would stay as retail.
Because right now there's a blacksmith in there. He doesn't do a whole lot of selling a whole lot. He just works on a lot of metal things. He's an artist.
Oh, okay.
So.
Gotcha.
I have no more questions.
You have more? Vance? No?
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
For anyone else here who wishes to speak in favor of this application? Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in opposition to this application? Right. Who has a question concerning the application? Let the record show that no one else has to be recognized.
I make a motion we defer.
Thank you.
second that we defer on CU 1713. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed.
We deferred because we had to.
Right. Mr. Lang?
Second application is conditional use number 1714, the application of Bernard Dura to consider the conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for multifamily dwelling structures, proposing four units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 32,653 square feet, more or less, lying west of Route 357, also known as Cedar Neck Road, and being north of the Assawaman Canal. For the benefit of council, I have four copies of the site plan and exhibit booklet that was submitted to the commission. You can share. And again, just for the record, this application was reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission on December 13th of 2007. We did receive comments from the Department of Transportation that traffic impact study was not recommended and that the level of service C of Central Avenue will not change as a result of this application. We heard comments from the Sussex Conservation District in reference to soils. The applicant was present with John Sergovic, attorney, and Susan Frederick, architect, and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of the application. Bob Darrow, John W. Lewis, and Robert Deeth were present and spoke in opposition, expressed concern relating to loss of trees. The DelDOT has not granted entrance location approval, debris, storage of debris on state lands, the lack of adequate space on the site for improvements, that the neighbors do not want central water, that townhouses will change the character of the area, traffic and traffic safety, discrepancies in surveys, and negative impacts on property values. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission, there was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration to leave the record open for comments from the county engineering department. And that motion carried 5-0. I did receive a copy of the following day. We did receive the actual engineering comments, and for the benefit of council and in the form of a memorandum dated December 12th and received on December 14th, I have the engineering comments. The original assumption for this parcel based on the sewer district was one dwelling unit. The project is located within the Cedar Neck expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. It states that wastewater capacity is not available, but since it was designed to handle one EDU, that ordinance 38 construction would be required. There would be one system connection charge credit. That the current system connection charge rate is $4,088. That the parcel has been served with 2 6-inch laterals located along the parcel's frontage on Road 357. That conformity to the South Coast Area Planning Study of the 2005 update will be required. The system design did not consider redevelopment of this parcel into multifamily dwellings at higher density. The parcel is located in an area of residential single-family lots. The proposed project exceeds system design assumptions for the area. The proposed project is a density of 5.33 units per acre. Approval of projects at an increased density in this area will accelerate the need for upgrades. The project exceeds the system design assumptions of one EDU, which is based on the allocation for a single-family residential lot of less than 1 acre in a residential zoned area. But the department recommends against approving a project that exceeds design assumptions and capacity allocations. That approval of projects at greater than system design assumptions has a negative impact on source system capacity and hastens the need to perform upgrades. The proposed development will require a developer-installed collection system in accordance with county standard requirements and procedures. The county engineer must approve the connection point. Depending on the project's design and site-specific details that are unknown at this time, it may be possible for the project to utilize the existing two laterals serving the project. The engineering department requires that a SOAR concept plan be submitted for review and approval, and did provide a checklist. The existing dwelling on the parcel must be properly disconnected and inspected by county. The county prior to removal, demolition, site work, or issuance of a building permit. And a one-time system connection charges will apply. And that a concept plan is required. And I do have a copy of the checklist. It's a list of multiple items that are required on the plan. And that is the engineering comments. I did receive a note. It's dated December 10th and received on the 13th. Suggested to council in regards to Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission of Sussex County public hearing on Ocean View property in Baltimore 100 Sussex County, lying west of Road 357 and north of Aswamba Canal. I wish to voice my opinion on this subject, and it's underlined absolutely no way. This is a GR general residential district, should be kept held for single family dwellings. I feel very strongly about this. I'm sorry I will be unable to attend this meeting, but I do want my voice to be heard. And again, absolutely no, and thanking you for your understanding. And signed, Rita Jefferson. And that's all I have, gentlemen. Again, the commission did defer action.
For the record, I'm John Sergovic. I'm the older portion of Sergovic and Carmi. I have seven booklets, and the reason I'm giving you new booklets is there's been a slight modification to the scope of the application.
Can we turn the? Can you recycle that? Use it for your next application.
I have to keep one.
Oh, I
need one. I need one for the record.
The old one.
Different date.
The application's conditional use number 1714 addresses 32,000 square feet of land. It's located adjacent to the Assawoman Canal, and the property has limited frontage on Cedar Neck Road or County Road number 357. The property is in a GR district, and there's sufficient acreage within the applicant's land to support three dwelling units within in the GR district. The purpose of the GR district is to provide for medium density residential use, including mobile homes. Conditional use is allowed in the GR district pursuant to code section 115-39, include multi-family dwelling structures, subject to the provisions of Articles 4 through 20. Again, Mr. Darrow's property consists of 32,653 square feet of land. The original application and the materials in the booklet show and depict four units. And the property, but we recognize that the land, the underlying zone only authorizes three units, so we're reducing the application to three units, notwithstanding the four shown on the plan. The property is in the environmentally sensitive development district under the 2000 plan update, and the guidelines for density in that plan provide, with public sewer, four dwelling units per acre, for single-family detached and manufactured homes, and six dwelling units per acre for manufactured housing parks, and 10 dwelling units per acre for townhomes. Originally, we believe that the mobile home park should be the guide for density, but we've revisited the application and realized that 653 square feet will only support three dwelling units under the underlying GR zone. Mr. Dara is applying for conditional use under 115-171, and conditional uses are granted where the use can't be well adjusted to the environment and that it's desirable for the general convenience and welfare. The essence of this application is the topography of the lot. The lot is triangular in nature. Mr. Dara originally contemplated doing a two-lot subdivision for himself and his daughter. There's not enough road frontage to divide the 30,000 square feet in such a way that you can use the existing road and get adequately sized lots. So looking at the underlying zone of GR that allows units on 10,000 square feet, our conclusion was that you could possibly put in some kind of a stub cul-de-sac road and possibly get two units, but it wouldn't be a very efficient use of the property. And what one of the things that guides zoning changes is that you're trying to utilize your underlying zones so that where zones allow greater density, you concentrate those the population in those zones that designate that the land should be more densely utilized than in other zones like the AR zone. So in order to make full use of the property, the only way you can really obtain three dwelling units is to do the multifamily. I've heard the opposition speak to the fact that this will depreciate the values in the neighborhoods. The neighborhood is shown in tab number 4, and adjoining Mr. Dara's property are two lots by showing the red line, but there's a mobile home straddling those two lots. There is a residence on Penny Lane. Across the street, there's a landscaping business. Across the street, there's Masumi Associates, which I believe is a conditional use for some kind of medical facility. Further down the Cedar Neck Road is the Salt Pond Professional Center. There is an existing mobile home subdivision. One of the things that we believe is significant is there is no public water at that serving the, I guess that would be the west side of Cedar Neck Road, going from the Assawoman Canal up to the property that was previously Lindley Village. It's now called Dara Properties. Mr. Dara is in the process of making application to Sussex Shores Water to extend public water. And we believe that the extension of public water into this area would benefit the entire community.
You haven't had a response from Sussex Shores, have you?
It's just a matter of getting the application from them to us, and then they submit it to the PSC. It's a statutory thing. Once the landowner requests and they agree to serve, then the PSC just extends their franchise.
Because there's a number of properties between. Do you have to get any kind of a...
No. Okay. No, as long as we run the line down the road, and if Sussex Shores can't serve, Bethany's on the other side of the street, and Tidewater's on the other side of the canal. So there are three possible central water sources. It's just who's going to extend their territories.
Okay.
This is a rather mixed community, and... the fact that the GR underlying zone allows mobile homes, we believe that the creation of multifamily units is a net value gain to the community because they're more substantial structures than mobile homes. We also submitted a proposed finding of fact, which has conditions, and I took those conditions off of a similar application where property was being converted from an existing residential use to a townhome conditional use of land. Again, the particular property is the only efficient way to develop this property is through the conditional use mechanism we believe that that will enhance the values in the community. It'll also allow the county to control siting so that it better protects the environment rather than trying to squeeze two lots and some kind of a stub cul-de-sac road. We think it's a much more efficient use of the property, and it allows the property to be developed in accordance with the underlying zoning density assumptions. And the GR district allows both stick-built and mobile homes. Susan Frederick is here, and I'd like to ask her to talk to you about how the properties can be located, and also her inquiries to Rob Davis of County Engineering with regard to this central sewer issue. Oh, and Mr. Deere is also here with me, and I just ask him to step up. Mr. Deere, essentially the outline I just gave is adopted as your testimony.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, my name is Susan Frederick. I'm a registered architect in the state of Delaware with George Miles and Buer, located in Lewis. And I have provided for Mr. Dara the plans and site planning for this project to date. the project, as John Sergovic was discussing, is an odd-shaped lot. It's a triangular lot, and our goal with the project was to develop it in such a way as to maximize its potential and minimize its effect on its neighboring properties. The project is located along the canal, on the opposite side of the canal from the town of Ocean View. The proposed dwelling units are located in such a way that they meet the setback from the road, and they also allow for the area to the adjoining properties to remain undisturbed to maintain some of their privacy. So the smaller end of the property is left undisturbed next to the property on Penny Lane. The units themselves are pushed away and toward the canal and away from the property. Home that fronts on the road, Cedar Neck Road, that adjoins this. And that was the general siting desires when we did that. Other than that, I guess John wanted me to also talk about the sewer assessment. I contacted Rob Davis to discuss his assumptions on this. He stated that the department typically uses the design assumption of 1 ADU for all single-family residentially zoned parcels that are less than 1 acre in size. That this already had a home on it, there was no way that they would have considered it without knowing anything for any greater number than that. But in the actual zoning of this as general residential, that would permit one dwelling unit for every 10,000 square feet of lot area, and the area of the parcel was not a consideration. He also stated, though, that it does not mean that the capacity is not possible. They haven't made that decision. And that there are two laterals at the front of the property now. I guess that's...
Understand that? Yeah. On the whole sewer issue, oftentimes I've experienced that the county has done a design for an area and they use certain assumptions for the sizing of their pipes. And unfortunately, they base those designs on assumptions which aren't necessarily consistent with the underlying zoning. In this area, 10,000 square foot lots are authorized, so the county probably should have taken that into consideration in their design. But we realize it'll be an Ordinance 38 project, so any upgrades that are necessary will be made in order to neutralize any effect on capacity will be passed on to the developer, and it happens on a lot of projects where the underlying design assumptions didn't contemplate the use, but the use can can be accommodated by modifications either to pump stations or other things within the sewer system. It's been done a number of times. I would like to call Mr. Deere back up just for a second. If the council can turn to the colored sheet or aerial photograph at tab 4, you'll see an outline of the site for the townhomes. And the residence that's on Penny Lane, who's that owned by?
That's owned by my Uncle Bob.
Okay. And have you made an effort to leave the natural trees so that his existing views will not be disturbed?
Yes, I did.
And did you also locate the property away from the owner of the, I guess that's a mobile home that straddles two lots?
Yes.
So rather than coming up close to the side setback line of 10 feet, you're approximately 50 feet?
Yes.
And do you believe that this will enhance the neighborhood as far as economic value?
Yes, I do.
Is it an improvement over the existing structure?
10 times.
How old is the existing structure?
I guess it's from 1900 of some sort, 1910 or something.
All right. And does it also have a structure and a shed? Is that?
Yeah, there's a garage on it.
And is that currently rented to somebody?
Yes.
And with respect to trying to develop this alternatively, did you seek to get a subdivision using the existing Cedar Neck Road?
Yes, I did. I tried to cut it in two.
And was there insufficient frontage?
It was short by, I think, 30 feet. That's 220 feet. You need 300.
And when you first went to seek development of the property, was it for a speculative use or were you going to use it inside the family?
Nope, I was going to keep a lot and I was going to give a lot and put a new house up for my daughter.
And do you agree that the county will can better control the development of this property through the conditional use mechanism by putting conditions on the application and also controlling the site plan?
Yes.
That concludes our formal application, unless there are any questions.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Just, John, you kept using the efficient use of the land. I'm having a trouble with that word. Why does the county council have to be worried about efficient use of somebody's land?
One of the legislative directives on the enabling statute is that zoning should look to avoiding the wasteful scattering of population and zoning in accordance with the concept of consolidating population in those areas that are served by public facilities.
So you're talking in a larger scheme, not
right.
Site or something.
It's the larger scheme. We're saying GR allows 10,000 square feet of land that concentrates population in this zoning district, and in order to develop or utilize the underlying zone, the only way you can approach this triangular tract is through the conditional use of multifamily unit.
Okay, I got another question. Is the GR district has been typically associated with more affordable housing options for people, that, especially close to the beach, where you're allowed to have a modular, a mobile, or even a stick built?
The GR is
But only a single family, not any. You have to ask for further permission. Anything else?
It authorizes.
Right. If this application gets approved and you set a precedent for, other applications, do you see any negatives to the fact that we're losing a GR areas close to the beach like this that are affordable?
No. Again, all you're doing is saying, rather than force one unit to be on 30,000 square feet, so that that person would have to pay the full land cost of the 30,000 square feet. We can have three families living on 30,000 square feet, therefore spreading the value of the land among three families rather than one.
All right. Let me see if there's anything else. I had some other notes here. Let me see. All right, that's it for now. Maybe I'll think of some. Go ahead. Yeah, go on down.
Any other questions?
Mr. Nukes? Any questions? Thank you.
Well, we'll just hear what the opposite is. There's some opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Bergovic. Is there anyone here who would like to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone here who would like to speak in opposition to this application?
Gentlemen, my name is Bob Durr. I live at 38133 Penny Lane, which is adjacent to the said property.
Are you Uncle Bob?
Pardon me?
Are you Uncle Bob?
I'm Uncle Bob, yeah, Uncle Bob.
We've heard about you.
Did you hear that deal? Okay. By allowing this property to be with four units on it, you're going to set a precedent for this whole community that they can rip the house down and build four in there. And right now it's zoned for one house only, one home. And also, once you get this, it'll be four. They want four storage sheds and the parking on the state property and so on. Well, anyway, I have a petition here by the neighbors. We, the homeowners, oppose the building for homes on map tax 1-34-1315, Sussex County. The road frontage on the county road, number 357, which is property located, is 221 feet. You need 150 feet frontage for a single home. This ground is for one home only. Putting four units on this property will cause a problem changing the code in the county, which you give it to one, you're about to give it to all. You could take one person out, okay? Building four units, or four homes, will substantially and permanently impair the value of surrounding homes. These four homes also cause a traffic problem from 8 to 10 cars, more or less, going to Route 57. Now I have five signatures on here opposing the building of this of property adjoining this property, adjacent to this property.
And they all live on Penny Lane or in that immediate area?
Penny Lane, also on 357,
right across,
across the street. Exactly right. And it's going to cause a problem here and four units, and you're going to change the code. When you change the code for one, you're going to have to go for all. You can't just stop at one. And the code is one house, one home.
To the attorney, GR zone. 32,000 square feet. GR is four units per acre. Is the zone for one house or for 3.2653?
It's zoned for single family homes only.
Single family.
You have to have a 10,000 square foot lot.
It's zoned for a single family home, but
it's what, the many.
What the applicant is saying is that because there's 10,000 square feet that could be allocated to each unit, and that's the square footage required per unit, I'm really entitled to 3.2 based on my acreage.
Okay, so it is zoned for 3.2. It's not approved for multifamily.
It's not. Okay. Not to my knowledge. Is it, Mr. Lang?
No, right now it is one lot of 32,000 plus square feet.
It's a large lot.
They're asking to give them.
But it's a
could you put three single wide mobile homes on there?
The only way you could put more than one residence, whether it be mobile, modular, or stick built, is to go through some process, either to subdivide the property or conditional use for multifamily. To subdivide the property would require a 50 foot access road, basically, which is going to reduce from the 32,000 because you're going to end up taking the road out to then come up with your 10,000 square foot lot.
You just can't knock two lots off.
So what they're doing is a condominium,
correct,
where the whole footprint is common land around this four-unit building.
But the zoning, based on GR zoning, 10,000 square feet per unit.
And part of this ground here, it comes to a point. So it's a lot of wasted ground, which I have a survey here. I don't know if you people have a survey or not. And it's ground you can't do nothing with. Because of
is your ground GR, sir?
I have no idea.
Yes, it is.
Yes,
it is.
Okay. I'm sure everything. Right.
My home building two lots.
Ditches it on Davis.
It's on the west side and everything in that corner up until the new development that was where the old mill restaurant and all that was all GR. The old mill was GR. All that was, that whole side of that Cedar Neck Road is GR.
Is it past? You want to put in a new sub, little, like, looks like they're doing
construction. Right at the canal. It's right at the bridge at the canal. This is right on the canal.
Okay, I was looking for it.
Yeah, yeah, it's right on the canal. Okay. When you go into ocean, if you go from the salt pond back into town, it's the last right-hand property before you go over that bridge.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
A little old white house on it.
Yep.
Is there anything further you would like to add, sir?
No, all the homes, all but one, I could get an old person, are opposed to building its units in our.
Do you want to submit that petition which you addressed? Because you made reference to five owners, but we don't know who those five owners are.
You want to ready to sign the papers?
Yes.
Please. For the record.
Please.
Are you saying, sir, that you'd like to see the state place, the area remain as single-family homes as opposed to?
Yes, I do.
That's and these signatures also concur with that?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Right.
Yep. On this petition, the signature of that note he read contains four property owners.
I have a.
You have a fifth one?
Which numbers they are.
Yeah, he has the numbers of the tax maps on there. That's fine. You got the numbers on there. Okay, thank you.
They're also going to get a hold of you down in Virginia. There's another person who's probably talking
about that. But officially, you have four.
Right there. Okay. Right there, right.
All right, thank you. And I'll make that part of the record.
Thank you, sir.
For anyone else here who wish, gentleman in the back, you raise your hand. Would you?
Talk to my father. My name's Roger Deep. I live directly across the street from this lot. I feel that putting townhouses in there would be a problem with the road, the traffic. And it would change the aesthetics of that area since everything is single family. And if it would happen to change, that would open the door for the people on the east side of the road to do the same. From my experience, townhouses does not increase the value of single family homes.
Single wide mobile homes are allowed on this property. Do you see that as being something that would?
I'm aware of that. It's a single family.
Okay.
Whether it's a mobile home, stick built, or modular, it's still single family.
Absolutely. Would you spell your last name, sir?
D-E-I-T-H.
Thank you.
And every time I show up, they either misspell my last name or mispronounce the first name. It's
Robert.
Roger. R-O-G-E-R.
Okay. Well, I've been in front of
that, Robin.
I had it wrong. I was way off on what he said. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Sometimes I don't speak very clearly.
Thank you, Richard.
I think it's my hair. I don't think it was you.
Anyone else who wishes to be heard today? Let the record show that no one else has to be recognized.
Okay.
Motion defer.
Make a motion to defer.
Second.
And this is number
1714. Okay.
Out of Bernard Adira.
We move to second that we defer action on CU 1714. Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Deuce.
Yes.
Mr. Rodden.
Yes.
Yes, motion passed. Thank you very much.
Next item is change of zone number 1631. It's the application of Garrett W. Herring, Herring Real Estate, LLC, to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a B1 neighborhood business district for a certain parcel of land lying being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, land lying southeast of Route 24, 1,000 feet northeast of Love Creek, to be located on 1 acre more or less. For the benefit of council, I just passed down copies of the site plan for this property, showing the existing office and parking lot in the rear yard. We heard comments from the Office of State Planning Coordination that a waiver was granted due to the existing adjacent the existing conditions and the adjacent uses. Heard comments from DLDOT that a traffic impact study was not recommended and that level of service E of John J. Williams Highway will not change as a result of this application. We heard comments from the Sussex Conservation District in relationship to soils. We received comments from the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, that the site is not located in a county-operated and maintained sanitary sewer and or water district, that an individual on-site septic system is proposed, that conformity to the North Coastal Planning Area Study will be required, that the county is currently conducting a planning study on the North Coastal Sussex area, that the study is scheduled for completion in 2008, and that there is no schedule to provide service to this project, and that a concept plan is not required. Garrett Herring was present and made presentations. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. The commission did defer action at the conclusion of the public hearing for further consideration. I received no additional comments from any agency or individual to date since that public hearing. I will add to this, and it's noted in the record, this is a site that was approved originally for a conditional use for a chiropractic office. The difficulty of the site is that the chiropractic office limits it just to a chiropractor, and I believe the applicant's going to give some testimony in relationship to that. That's all I have, gentlemen, unless you have questions.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. President and council members. My name is Garrett Herring. I live at 215 Columbia Street, Milford, Delaware. The reason I'm here today is to request a zoning change to my property on 24. It has been used as a chiropractic office, and I guess the reason I'm requesting it needs a bit of an explanation. As I mentioned, I'm from Milford. I grew up in Milford. My brother and I were raised there. My mother taught school there until she retired to Virginia. I moved away, went to chiropractic school. When I returned to Milford. I've been practicing there for about 13 years. In 2000, my brother, who you may or may not remember, he and I opened the office on Route 24. Mm-hmm. He practiced there about a year, and in December of 2001, we were heading to my mom's house in Virginia, and a deer jumped out in front of him, and he was killed. I was behind him and first on scene, made the phone calls to 911 and my mother. 9 days later, I was back in his office as well as continuing my own practice. I think I did that for about 4 or 5 years and just got to be a little bit much emotionally and physically, and I just said enough's enough, and I closed it about a year. That was a year ago in August. At that point, I put the office and practice up on the market for lease or sale or whatever. I soon learned that due to the restrictions, I couldn't lease or sell it, which brings me to why I'm here today to request that zoning change. If there's any...
Been a chiropractic office?
6 years. 5, 6 years.
But it was grandfathered in prior to...
No, my brother and I came and went through the conditional use. Okay. Application.
Okay, so it couldn't be used for anything other than that.
Well, no. It's limited to the chiropractic office. I've had interest.
And you want to broaden the use.
Okay. Well, I've had interest from medical doctors, veterinarian, a couple attorneys, and actually a
physical therapist.
Who?
We had to request also.
Is there
we had to deny it. Okay.
There is a concern sometimes because our B1 permits. You're looking asking for B1, right?
Yes.
Right. Yeah, B1 permits a number of activities from grocery stores and package stores, et cetera, and it does open up a wide range of things. Under a conditional use, we could have even changed it to like professional use, and it would open it up to all those office type uses, and we could modify it. And you don't have the ability, Lawrence, over the counter to make a
no. When we went actually through legal counsel, and because it was actually a chiropractic office. The closest thing I got to was the real question I had was we had a physical therapist. To me, just layman, physical therapist, or chiropractor almost do the same thing. Wrong.
That's why you're in planning.
And I couldn't, I would have said, well, that's about as close as you can get. But it's not
okay.
the same. Because it says chiropractic. It doesn't say professional or medical offices. It says chiropractor. So,
do you see any problem, Jim, at rezoning a property to make it easier to sell for somebody? I mean, that seems to be his argument here today because you don't want to use it anymore. You want to try to sell it.
Is there a contract pending?
No, because everybody just kind of bailed and said 18-month or 12-month process.
Nobody wanted to apply.
What you want to be able to have it used for if it's sold is...
Well, I said lease or sale. That's originally what I tried to do.
Are you trying to both make it available for somebody to have offices there?
It's. I'm looking for a doctor's office.
Because Mr. Cole's concern was it could be a convenience
store. Yeah, and I don't want to... That was not the intent.
Well, it is contiguous. Mr. Lake just pointed out it is contiguous to a B1 district, so it would be an extension of an existing district. Okay.
Well, if that's a concern to a majority of you, then
in the past we've been
around that is to self-restrict against some of those more intense uses.
Yeah, but in the past we've been counseled sometimes that we shouldn't. You have good reasons, and sometimes helping a guy to sell something isn't a valid reason. But
okay,
I'm just curious.
You good? Any more questions?
The other guy, a question?
I think he's come asking for a B1, so we need to look at it as a B1 application.
Yeah, right. He's got B1 right beside him.
Yeah,
right. Right. Contiguous, right?
Right. Absolutely. Rob, did you take a question?
Thank you. Okay.
You have no other questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Is there anyone else here who wishes to be heard regarding this application, either for or against?
Again. You, sir, do you have any comments you'd like to make?
Just glad to be here.
Thank you for coming.
Let the record show no one else has to be recognized.
Take over the beat on the spot, right?
I'd love to hear from you, though.
Are you in support of this?
I make a motion we defer on CZ 1631 until such time as we get a recommendation from the Planning and Zoning.
Second.
We move to second that we defer on CZ 1631. Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Duke.
Yes.
Mr. Roger.
Yeah. Yes. Don't put yourself out.
I vote yes also.
You got to start using a gavel, Ben. We don't use a gavel.
There you go. No problem.
Introduction.
Thanks, guys. Introduction to ordinance.
We have introduction to ordinances.
Yep.
It's over for you.
You too.
Next.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land on AR1 Agricultural Residential District for temporary storage of construction equipment. Lewis Rehoboth 100, 9.33 acres. Application with Barry Barker. Ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a CR1 commercial residential district for multifamily dwelling structures located on certain parts of land in Georgetown 100 containing 39.73 acres. Rodney Smith.
Conflict.
Ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for medical office buildings to be located in a certain parcel of land in Indian River 100 containing 7.3 acres, Center for Neurology Properties.
Introduce.
Ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from AR1 to CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land in Northwest 400 containing 1.2 acres.
Introduce.
Ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from AR1 to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land in Georgetown 100 containing 39.738. Ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from AR1 agricultural residential to AR1 RPC agricultural residential district residential planned community on 134 acres, more or less, Cannon Road Investments. Ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from MR to MRRPC.
How do you become a signature officer?
For 78.228 acres, more or less, Caldera Properties.
That's fancy.
Ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from AR1 to B1 Neighborhood Business District for a certain parcel of land in Lewis Rehoboth 100 containing 25,000 square feet. That's all.
All right. That's a record.
That's a record.
Make a motion, we adjourn.
Second.
All Exactly. We all adjourned. Say goodbye, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
All in favor of Obama, say aye.